idea that somehow the Yomtiv of Purim is on a more elevated, holier status than that of Yom Kippur. Now, you can make a lot of jokes to the similarities between these two, but in the end, we have a statement of the Zohar that tells us Purim akriyas al shem Yom HaKippurim. There's already a connection, a parallel between Purim and Yom HaKippurim, and if you take it to the next logical step, Yom HaKippurim sounds like that Yom Kippur is a day that just gets close to being like Purim. It's not actually like Purim, but it's close to being what Purim is. And the Mishnah Brura. The Mishnah Brura in a comment of the Radvaz. The Radvaz is a very important comment in which the Radvaz was once asked that if a Jew is in the medieval times in prison or whatever it may be, and he gets a day out, he gets one day that he should go daven. What day should he choose? And it's interesting that in this comment of the Radvaz in the formulation of his question says, should he go out immediately? V'lo yachmitz ha-mitzvah lihis lahamtin al yom ha-kippur o Purim. So he says, is it better to go right away, which is how he paskins, that if it's Tuesday afternoon and they tell you you can go out any day for davening, you go right then and there, daven on Tuesday afternoon, and don't wait for a very holy day. Now, if I were to have you in my class and I were to ask you, fill in the comment of the Radvaz, a holy day like blank or blank, maybe you're putting Yom Kippur, which I imagine, maybe you're putting Rosh Hashanah, maybe a Shabbos, Shavuos, Pesach, no one's putting Purim. And their Radvaz clearly understood what this Zohar and the Arizal are talking about, the significance, the special uniqueness, the Kedusha to Purim, that it's on some kind of level on a, you know, on of Yom Kippur. And the question is, how in the world are these two things similar? Meaning, describe both of those days, right? So Yom Kippur is all day in shul, davening and introspection, and crying and tears and miyichya miyamas, and you feel a very, very spiritual feeling, right? When Yom Kippur is towards the end, when I was a kid, I just wanted Yom Kippur to be over, and now I just want Ni'ilah to extend forever. That feeling, that connection, the davening, the slicha, the alchets, all of that's Yom Kippur. Purim is a lot less time in shul. It's a lot more eating. It's a lot more simcha. It's a lot more, you know, outwardly. Those two Yomim Tovim are not similar at all. So how do we understand not only the connection between Yom Kippur and Purim, but how is it possible that Purim might even be on a greater status than Yom Kippur itself? So to do this, we're going to look through a number of sources that helps us not only understand this connection, but really appreciate Purim in a much deeper, you know, in a much more meaningful way. So we'll learn a little bit from a Futner. Referring to one of the great Rabbanim in the 20th century, Futner was born in Warsaw, Poland, in the early 20th century, 1906, died about 30-ish years ago, around 1980, and learned in the Slobodka Yeshiva by Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, was known as the Warsaw Iloy. And he joined a group of Slobodka Yeshiva students that actually were the first to learn in Hebron. Right? Rav Herner famously learned in the famous Hebron Yeshiva, and he escaped the 1929 massacre because he was away for that Shabbos. He went to visit Rav Kook. So he was not in Hebron that Shabbos. And he developed a very close relationship with Rav Kook and with Rabbi Soloveitchik and then many others. And he was a great thinker and a great writer. And he answers the following. So the first answer says, says Rav Huttner, if you have the Mar Makomos, great. If not, also okay. So says Rav Huttner that, quoting the Gra says that we know that most Yamim Tovim are Chatzi Lachem and Chatzi Lashem. Right? Most Yamim Tovim are half for God. So we daven and we learn and we spend time in Shul and we sing Smiros and we do all of those things. But also Chatzi Lashem, Chatzi Lachem, but a little bit for us. We eat and we have time together. Right? Chatzi Lashem and Chatzi Lachem. So the Gra says, Yom Tov that Chatzi Lashem and Chatzi Lachem. There are two exceptions to this rule. What are those exceptions? Yom Kippur is kulo l'Hashem, right? Think about Yom Kippur. I sit in shul all day. I do not eat. I daven. I cry. I connect with the Ribono Sholem. And it's kulo l'Hashem, okay? And Purim is very, very lachem. Even the mitzvos that we have on Purim are mitzvos between us. It's food, mishloach manos, matanos levyonim, asu'uda. It's really kulo lachem. right? It's a very mundane, so to speak, yomtiv, which is why Hashem's name is on it. It's a mundane yomtiv. So says the Vilna Gaon, Kusha the Milsa ain't come from Yotzim in a class. Says over the Gro, no. It's not that it's two separate days, that they're exceptions, but rather they really are biyachad, mahavdim b'inyan and moedachad. Really, what they do is they're really part of one yontif experience, meaning you Purim and Yom Kippur combine together to really do each half of that. One is chatzi l'Hashem, one is chatzi l'chem, and therefore it's a little bit of both together. So that's what the Vilna Gaon says, that you should view these two Yomim Tovim not as exceptions to the rule, but as an understanding of what a full Yontif experience will look like. And even though Purim is Lachem and Yom Kippur is Lachem, they're combined together. But then he says the following very important idea. Says Rav Huttner, the Yom Kippur is the exception, which we know for Lachem, and Purim is the exception for Lachem. And then he tells us, he says, not only are they exceptions or they fill how to really do a Yontif, but really it's how Jews exist in exile. And he explains, right? What he does is Rav Huttner quotes a Gemara in Shabbos. And this Gemara in Shabbos is going through, when Hashem tells the Avos what's going to happen to the Jews, comes to their sins, punishment, and exile. And Avram and Yaakov, they all fail to appeal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Yitzchak comes in, and his argument, he says, half of this is on me, palga alai, palga alechem. And he quotes Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer, and he says that really what we're doing is we turn to the Ribono Sholem. And you can see here on the second page, Shnei Me'akvim Halalu HaMachlit Shemes Kocham. We look to the Ribono Sholem and we say, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, really, really what I want to do is I want to serve you as best I can in exile. Right? That's what I want to do. But there's two problems that I have. Seor shebi'isa, my yetzer hara, that it takes me away from a relationship with you, right? We know there's different things that take us away. Yetzer hara, malach hamaves, the satan. The yetzer hara removes my connection with Hashem. That's one. And then he says, shibud malchios. Without those two things, without, other nations ruling over us, then I would really be able to serve you properly. But what can I do? The Yetzer Hara, the temptation of living in this world. I can't do it. So these two, the Yetzer Hara and the Shiva Malchios, are represented by Yom Kippur and by Purim. On Yom Kippur, there's no Yetzer Hara. When you're at the end of Ni'ilah, you don't have a feeling of, oh my gosh, I can't wait to tell you this great piece of Lashon Hara. Right, find me the person at the end of Ni'ilah is ready to say, listen, guys, I'm not going to learn anymore. I'm not going to dive anymore. Everybody at the end of Ni'ilah feels a connection. There's no Yetzer Hara when it comes to Purim, when it comes to Yom Kippur. It gives us the strength and the capacity to withstand all of that, to nullify the Yetzer Hara. Right? We feel a connection. And after reading the Megillah, when you read the Megillah and you understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in our every day, right? That as much as we have other nations ruling over us, wherever that was, big times of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, in the 1100s, in the Crusades, in the Spanish Inquisition, in Italy, in Rome, whatever their persecutions were, wherever those nations were, and they were Shibud Malchios, we felt a pressure living under a rule that wasn't ours. We read the Megillah and we realize, you know what? We're going to be okay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of us. No matter what happens, Hashem's looking out for us. So these two Yomim Tovim, says Rav Huttner so beautifully, these two Yomim Tovim, if you look in the second page where the arrow is, Kamor Yesh Kan Shleimus Achaz Bas Shnei Chatzain. You have here two halves that really form the full picture of what it means to serve the Ribono Shel Olam. And he says in the underline, Kalken Yom Kippur Hu Bitul HaYikuv Shel Sor Shebi'isa. On Yom Kippur, we get rid of our Avodah Zarah. We don't have that desire. You don't have a desire for anything at the end of Ni'ilah. Then in Ilo, you not only don't have a desire, you want good, you're going to daven more, you're going to say brachos more, all these plans that we have. And Yom Kippur, Eini Samach Metzes, it doesn't ferment, it doesn't come to fruition, it doesn't impact us. Vein Koach HaSatan LaHastin. So it gets rid of that aspect. And Purim, Nafka Kochel Shol Asa Mishul Shabbat, Av Nafal Pachana Yehudim Aleihem. When you read Megillas Esther, you have a feeling and a sense that no matter what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take control of our destiny. And we know that we're not going to be wiped out. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls the shots. However much it doesn't look like it at times, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls the shots. So what you have with these two, with both Yom Kippur and Purim, is sort of the full understanding of serving the Ribono Sholem. We have 2 days set aside in our year in which we tell the Ribono Sholem, all right, these are the 2 things that hold me back, my Yetzer Hara and the fact that I have so much other stuff. Right? We know that when Mashiach comes, we believe that actually these two pieces won't really exist. Number one, they don't exist because there might not be Yetzer Hara in that sense, because we'll have an easier connection, and there really won't be Yeshiva Malchio because we'll have Mashiach. Right? So really, Pal Go'alach or Pal Go'alai is telling us that with these two Yomim Tovim, that's how a Jew survives in exile. And if any year like this year, when we look at a Megillah, you know, I think I said it this past Shabbos, and I think it's very true. Every Yom Tov that we're going now, at least in this year, post October 7th, we feel it a little bit differently. We interact with it differently. We engage with it in a more meaningful way. And I think this Purim, aside from the Haman connections and the Amalek connections and the enemies that we have, the understanding of finding the Ribono Sholem, which we're seeing in this world, the notion that even though there's Shiva Malchiyot, there could be an attack, there's also going to be a response, right? We celebrate Purim not because Haman was killed, but because we beat up the enemy at the end of the Megillah. So this message of we look to these 2 days, Yom Kippur and Purim, as days to tell us we could do it, right? We are able to remove ourselves from our Yetzer Hara. We are able to remove ourselves from the pressure, from the anxiety, from the stress, from the fear that lives in Shiva Malchios, and tell ourselves we're going to be okay. And we're going to be able to not only be okay, but be able to really succeed and thrive. So that is part one of how Rav Hutner sees this notion of Purim and Yom Kippur. So then the question becomes, well, 1 second. Didn't we just say, though, that in a certain way, Purim is a higher level than Yom Kippur? Well, how is it possible then that Purim... So the answer is, there are 2 ways to connect with a Ribono Sholem. I could remove myself from this world. I could say, listen, I'm not getting involved in any of the things that's out there, physical stuff, I'm done, right? There's 2 pathways to connect to holiness. I'm withdrawing from this world. I'm not going to speak. That if I don't speak, I won't say Lashon Hara. If I put my head down, then I won't see anything. I'm going to be a tzaddik, right? That's 1 way. And there are many schools of thought, and I'm sure you can identify some of them, that take that approach. Withdrawal from this world, you know, we use the term ultra-Orthodox a lot. The term ultra-Orthodox is actually a term coined in the late 1800s because as the influence of society around the Jews got heavier and heavier, and as it began to impinge on their ruchnius and on their Jewishness, on their Yiddishkeit, so did I let in a lot or did I close it all out? The more that I became insular, the more ultra I became. It wasn't a frum, a charedi. It was a defense mechanism, right? So 1 way to withdraw, and there are benefits to both, is I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to get involved, right? If we look at our world in which we live, in our modern world, right? I give a shiur on Monday nights to a group of wonderful young women who are post-seminary. And this was a question they asked recently. You know, there's certain things that we do in our lives that it becomes so much a part of who we are that it's hard to break away from it. But when you boil it down and you ask yourself, is that really helping me in my Avodas Hashem, becoming a better Jew? The answer probably is no. But it's become what we've accustomed to. And that is a very thoughtful, a very genuine question, and it's a difficult one. And that is the, you know, Yom Kippur approach. Remove yourself, right? Forget the clothes, forget the shoes, forget everything else. Spend the whole day in shul, daven, cry, talk to the Ribono Shel Olam. That's approach number one, right? That's approach number one. Approach number two is the Purim approach, right? The Purim approach is not to withdraw from the world, engage in the world and try to elevate the world, right? So I'm going to eat. I'm not going to eat because, well, maybe it's not going to be kosher. Maybe I'm not going to make a bracha. I'm going to eat, but I'm going to check the hechsher. I'm going to make a bracha out loud. I'm going to share with others. If I'm going to speak, I'm going to uplift people when I speak. I'm going to comfort them. I'm going to do nicham avilim and bikucholim. I'm going to say brachos out loud, right? So Yom Kippur and Purim are 2 sides of the coin. Yom Kippur is angelic, right? I need 1 day to remind me that I have an neshama, right? I have an neshama, and it is an important day. It is, at least in my own personal life, become such a day that I look forward to, Yom Kippur. When I tell my 8th graders that it's like my favorite day, and I don't fast well. By the end of Yom Kippur, I'm like barely like off the ground. But that day of connection and that day of ruchnias and that day of feeling a connection, the Ribono Shel Olam, there is nothing more powerful in the world. That's approach number one. Purim, though, is a reminder that we're part of this world. So which one is holier? So says Rav Huttner, if we combine them, that's the best yontif, right? The commonality of the two is that we face distinction on both days. We have judgment in Yom Kippur, which we'll come back to, but the Maharal at the end. And Haman tried to wipe us out. So in Yom Kippur, Hashem wanted to wipe us out after the Egel. And on Purim, Haman wants to wipe us out. In Yom Kippur, we get atonement. Moshe got us forgiveness. Right? Yom Kippur, it's spiritual. And on Purim, it's physical. So Rav Huttner says, that's why we find in both of these Yamim Tovim an amazing idea. They're both very focused, actually. Meaning Yom Kippur is great, but if you don't ask somebody for forgiveness on Yom Kippur, you can daven your heart out. You could cry. You could bawl. It's not going to work until you ask your friend, do you forgive me? Purim, everything we do is engaging in the people around us. Mishloach Manos, Matanos Levyonim, Seuda, it is all Ben Adam Lechaveiro. It's why there are no mitzvahs on any of those things. Because I'm doing it because I love you and I... Right, we give Mishloach Manos actually to be marbe reis, to increase happiness with each other. So these two Yom Tovim, both Yom Kippur and Purim, are two understandings of the Jew in exile and two understandings of how to engage in this world. They're, neither is right or wrong. So if you only take the Purim approach and don't inculcate the Yom Kippur aspects, that's wrong. If you just take the Yom Kippur approach and don't appreciate the Purim aspects, the elevation of the world around us, that's also a problem. So they combine to form, as the Gra said, Chati Lachem, Chati Lashem, they combine to really form what does it mean to really have this full appreciation, not only of the Jew in exile, but really of the Jew who understands what's happening in this world. So that's Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner understands it both from the best yontif, so to speak, the experience of the Jew in exile, and how we engage in this world. Then Rabbi Soloveitchik. Rabbi Soloveitchik, we have the sources there on page number four. Rabbi Soloveitchik quotes the Gemara that tells us that we listen to the Megillah twice. Right? We listen to the Megillah twice. And the idea of listening to Megillah both at night and during the day is actually based on two different psukim. And these two different psukim actually speak to two different ideas. On the one hand, Rabbi Shimon Levi's understanding is that it's out of a place of distress, of crying out, right? The Megillah is oh my gosh, right? We almost died, right? Esther fasts in the month of Nisan, not knowing that a year later they're going to be saved. And yeah, Rabbi Chama, who understands it, that it's really out of Hakaras HaTov. It's out of Hakaras HaTov. And this understanding of Purim being both sides, this is a very, very important idea of how to understand Purim. And really the truth is how to understand Tanis Esther, which we'll talk about next week. Purim is really two parts. One hand, Purim night at least, or maybe even Tanis Esther, is the anticipation. Oh my gosh, there is an evil King Haman. He wants to wipe out the Jewish people. He wants to destroy us. He wants to kill us, right? And we were saved. And we read the Megillah twice, which is the only Megillah. You don't read Rus, Shir HaShirim, Eicha Qalas twice, but you read Esther twice because at night and during the day is actually two different aspects of the Yontif. This is why Tanis Esther must always come before Purim. Tanis Esther is really the preamble. It's the davening, it's the learning, it's the tehillim, it's the crying, and then Purim is the salvation. So you can't really do them maybe both on the same day. But this Purim and Yom Kippur really represent two aspects to Purim itself. If we come into Purim and we think Purim starts with Megillah reading at night, we miss half of Purim. Because half of Purim is Esther, the plan, the davening. All of that exists is because Esther wanted to understood and Mordechai understood we can't get saved until we're sakh ve'efer yutzal rabim. And there's bechi and there's crying and there's mourning and there's sackcloth and there's and that's how we got to this the actual part. So this both of these aspects are very important. But now let's understand for a second why is it then that Purim may be on a higher level than Yom Kippur. And that's because there are two different understandings of of how we got the Torah. Now, let's remember that both Purim and Yom Kippur are both days of Kabbalah Satorah. Now, I'll skip the Sif Sei Chaim for a second, but the Gemara in Tainus tells us that the great days of Yom Tov Yisrael, Kachamish Aser Ba'av, Yom HaKippurim. So why Yom Kippur? Why is Yom Kippur such an amazing, beautiful, wonderful, uplifting day? There was forgiveness. And Sheninu Baluchos Acharonos. That's, we accepted the Torah. Yes, Shavuos is when we got the Luchos. But the at least the Luchos coming down was on Yom Kippur. And what about Purim? So Purim, the Gemara tells us very famously. The Gemara tells us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara in Shabbos in Peches tells us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Torah and put it over the mountain, put it over the Jews and said, accept the Torah. If you want the Torah, wonderful, terrific, great. But if not, sorry, you're going to die. Whether you're going to die now, you're going to die later. Eventually, without the Torah, you're going to die out. So what's the Shaila? Of course, the Jews accept the Torah. You know, other option than to accept the Torah. However, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Mikan Modo Rabba L'Araisa. Oh, one second. That's not fair. We accepted the Torah in the Midbar because we had no choice. Hashem said, take it or else. Okay, so we took the Torah. But how do we understand this notion then that we wasn't willingly? So Amar Rav Acha Piken Hadr Kiblu Abimei Achashverosh Tichsiv Kimu V'Kiblu Hayudim Kimu Mashe Kiblu Kfar. So the Gemara says that the Jews during the times of the Purim story, they reaccept the Torah. So what does that mean? They reaccept it. Kimu mashe kiblu kvar. So the Sif Sei Chaim explains the following: all the nisim that we have until Purim throughout Jewish history were nisim geluyim. They were bitul hanhogas hateva v'horas oras adonos habore. Every miracle, pick a miracle. If I ask you, write down the top 10 miracles from the beginning of Jewish history, from the beginning of the Torah until Purim. So what are you going to write down? You're going to write down Kriyas Yamsuf. You're going to write down, Matan Torah. You're going to write down certain battles. You're going to write down the Yuwal and Yericho. You're going to write down the Yeshua, the Sander, and the times of Yehoshua. You're going to write down the Six-Day War. You're going to write down massive miracles that stopped nature, because that is generally how we understand miracles, right? The word nes, which means a miracle and also means a banner, because any time that something happens that is so wild, it is a banner of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the world. It's why we spend so much time on Pesach with so many mitzvos, recreating that story every year, sitting at our tables, telling the story, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, because as the Ramban said, Hashem couldn't do a miracle every time a guy said, I don't know if God exists. Hashem says, stop the world. Let me do a major miracle. Let me do it for you, lead tag, so that you believe. So what does Hashem do? Hashem does an unbelievable amount of miracles during Yetzias Mitzrayim, all the makos, all the things that happen. And when we tell the story, it's a reminder of that emunah. So during most of the miracles leading up until Purim, they were major, major miracles, we'll call them. Purim was a time where the Jewish people did not experience major miracles in that sense. But they experience minor, we'll call them, nistar, right? Miracles that you have to sort of discern out of the world, the running of the world. And the other miracles, when God stops, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu splits the sea or makes a battle, everybody runs away and we win. That is mischazeg haremuna. I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. It's a chad pa'ami. It happens once, but it gives us a lot of chizuk. However, When I'm able to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not in the great miracles, only in the miracles of, Kriyas Yamsuf, but in the running of the world, that's when I really accept the Torah. When you go through the Megillah, I encourage you, when I taught myself years and years ago how to lay the Megillah, I think since then I really understood, and I have much better appreciation, because when you read the Megillah, and you learn it, you learn it be'eon, you understand how many things happen that you would have generally chalked up to coincidence. It happens to me that Vashti, is excommunicated. It happens to me that Esther gets to be the queen. And also, it happens to be that big son and Seresh, and it happens to be that Mordechai is there. It happens to be that a king can't sleep, and it happens to be that Haman likes power. All the happens. And when the Jewish people stopped and they said, oh my gosh, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's in our lives day to day. Right? So everybody wants to know why Hashem's name is not in the Megillah. So the easiest answer is no, because it was an Ace Nistar. It happened, but it was bottom up. It was a political, obviously it's all by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it wasn't a change of nature kind of miracle. No. Hashem's name is not in the Megillah because most of the time Hashem's name is not in that way. Hashem's name is not Kriyas Yamsuf. Hashem's name is, I see Hashem in my day to day. I see Hashem in my, in my drive to work. I see Hashem in the nature around me. Right? When we try to like improve on our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one of the tools that is very useful to do is a Hashgacha Pratis. But not Hashgacha Pratis like, well, I was driving and the car this, and because that could very well be that like I left late and there was an accident and we should write it down. I could also be the like I felt connected to Hashem during a bracha that I made today. That brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu into my life. That's Purim. So says the Siv Sei Chaim, Reb Chaim Freelander, that when we have a world like this, that where we find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the day to day, that is maybe La'avas Hashem Madrega Gidola. When Mashiach is Yosef, it's a higher level, and it draws me further. It is continuously inspiring to me when those kinds of things continue to happen. So this is why when we talk about Kabbalah Satorah, so which one is better? Is the Kabbalah Satorah better that we got out of fear? Or is Kabbalah Satorah better that we got out of love? Well, the Rambam is very clear. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, very good, tells us that serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu me'ava, osek b'Torah, mitzvos, and going in that way, not because we're fear or we're nervous or we're afraid, but rather because we feel a connection. And in Ava, that says the Rambam, umalas umalas gedola admod. That is the greatest level of connection. Ve'en kol chacham zocha, everybody zocha to it. That is Avram Avinu's level. Hashem called him an O'avi. And that's why maybe Yom Kippur is almost like Purim. Because Yom Kippur came more out of a sense of we got the Torah, was more out of fear. But Purim is out of love. Purim is out of Ahava. Purim is finding HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the day-to-day. When we find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way, that is a much more lasting and impactful and uplifting than only finding HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the great, great miracle. So that's maybe why Purim, as the Reb Chaim Freelander explains, might be on a level that is even a little bit high. And this really is what Rabbi Lam in a drasha he gave in 1968. In discussing both this idea of sort of being forced and what it means to be free. So he writes that if freedom is denied to us in revelation and withdrawal, there's no praise for believing in Hashem in the time of his presence and no blame for doubting him during his absence. If both fortune and misfortune, happiness and tragedy are equally coercive, if in each of these circumstances our attitudes towards Torah is considered involuntary, when then do we accept Torah out of freedom? The answer is when Hashem is neither present nor absent, neither conceals nor reveals, when fortune either smiles or frowns, that when freedom is at its greatest, meaning when we find the Ribono Shel Olam in the day-to-day, when I'm able to see the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only when there's great bracha, which we often see Hashem, and the times of tragedy, when I have questions and I'm upset, and those questions are my interaction with Hashem. I'm upset, I'm sad, I'm angry that this happened, but I'm questioning God and I'm angry at God, but that's an interaction. What about those times in between? What about the average Tuesday morning? And being able to find that Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu during those times, so that makes it on a much more higher level. Poem of the Maharal. The Maharal explains the following. He says, why is it that Purim and Yom Kippur are similar? And he writes the following. Both days, our lives hang in the balance. Isn't that what Yom Kippur is? We come to Shul all year long. We go about our lives all year long. We do our thing and we go in and we do our davening and our learning and our tilim and our shiurim. But we do our lives. And every year we have a cheshbon ha'nefesh. Oh, hold on a second, Leitag. Let's take stock of where we are. Right? That's what we do all year long. We go about our lives and we look back and oh my gosh, it's Yom Kippur. And Hashem is saying, if we don't do tshuva, if we don't sincerely apologize to each other, then that's what we do. So we daven and we ask for forgiveness and mechila and slicha v'chavar. Right? So both of these days, and a part of our lives hung in the balance. Haman made a goral. The lot was slaughtered. We were going to die. So that's it. We were going to die. So our lives hung in the balance. So now we can't every single day think like this. But two times a year, we think about the fact that our lives hang in the balance. But says Rav Pinkus, he takes this Maharal and he goes to one more fascinating step. Both the joy of Purim and the feeling of Yom Kippur are grounded in the essence, he says, of life itself. Life itself. On Yom Kippur, my life hangs in the balance. And in despite of my imperfect past, I ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please grant me forgiveness. I know I wasn't great, but in your rachmanos, in your graciousness, please, please, please grant me mechila. Purim is not the past, it's for life itself. The joy that life, the life itself never should never, fade. That I am excited and I don't feel diminished and I want to succeed and I want to accomplish. And emerges, therefore, that Purim is not just because of the past, about what Hashem did to Haman and to his sons and to the Persian army, but that Hashem continues to do for me. And really, this Rav Pinkus has changed the way I looked at Purim. Purim isn't just a day for fun. It's a day, yes, for simcha, but a day that I step back and I appreciate the understanding of life itself. Purim is a day of hester, because everything has come to light. Purim is a day we recognize that Hashem gave us those gifts. That's the challenge. We could have fun, we could enjoy Mishloach Manos, but we also understand, and maybe potentially in a year more than any other year in recent history, that, Shuasim HaYisrael HaNetzach, as we sing in Shosh HaNas Yaakov, our salvation is eternal. It's eternal, and we appreciate that. Rabbi Lau, in his book, tells a story that on Purim Day, tells about Purim Night, but on Purim Day, he tells a story that they were forced into labor, and there was a ger chassid. His name was Avram Eliyo, and they called him Rin Avram, and he was a schlepper. And he would walk in the back line and pick up anybody that fell behind. And on Purim Day, they were working, and this guy, he's in the back of the line. And even the guards, they said, admired him for his efforts. And after a little while, the story goes, the guards couldn't hold himself back, and they whisper into the ears of Avram, Hitler is kaput. The end of the war. Hitler's done. And he says, Rabbi Lau writes, within a minute, the announcement spread like wildfire. At the end of the line, they all got up, and they were, at one point, they were weak and tired and emaciated. They got up unassisted. They straightened their backs. And someone in the middle of the procession began to mumble, Ar Haman, right? BK Shlabdi, right? Mamish, they knew they were referring to. Ar Haman Baruch Mordechai, they knew they were referring to. And they were able to sing that song, Shoshanas Yaakov Tzahalav Isamecha. The song of the night, Rabbi Lau writes, returned the next morning, a month for liberation. It was the only day they sang, he says, in their forced labor in Buchenwald. The idea of Purim and Yom Kippur is to take a moment to reflect, like we do in Yom Kippur, to understand the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides, to recognize his role in our lives, even when we don't see him, and ultimately to make us more aware that our lives hang in the balance. And we do, I believe, sincerely, we appreciate this Purim message more than maybe any other year in recent history. To recognize that, to see our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even after we were attacked because we were Jews, like the Jews were, and our response has been like that kind of response, to find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to respond with the Knosos Kol HaYehudim, to respond with the sense of a revolution in terms of our connection to each other and our connection to the Ribono Shel Olam, that to make us more aware that our lives hang in the balance, that we are constantly receiving from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to really use that as an opportunity. Maybe in our Shemona Esrei, take a moment at the beginning, maybe in our Shachris, to appreciate the power, really the power of the day. Wish everybody, again, next week, we'll do one more